Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is the Financial Flight Plan Podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside Tim Estes of Estes Financial Services, serving you throughout the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. You can find us online at estesfinancial.net. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about beneficiary mistakes. Some of the common mistakes we see people making when it comes to naming beneficiaries on their accounts and things that surround that issue. One mistake we can identify here, Tim, and I'm interested in your thoughts as to why this would be on the list, but naming minors as beneficiaries. Why do we need to be careful of doing that?
Well, the big thing is under the law, if you name a minor as a beneficiary, they are not of majority or of legal age. And so it can end up where the state has to appoint a guardian, a financial guardian, or the kids are kept from getting their full inheritance until they're 18 or older, depending on what the age of majority is in the state that you live in. So you have to be really careful about naming minors as beneficiaries unless you've put it into some type of trust or something like that. And that takes the efforts of an attorney.
Yeah, some of these things, you know, they get more complicated. You've got to incorporate outside guidance. When that outside guidance is needed, Tim, figured this would be good to ask before we even go to the next spot, as this might be a common theme. What's your role as a certified financial planner when it comes to, okay, it looks like we're going to need, some outside counsel here or involve an attorney? Do you serve as sort of the quarterback to facilitate those conversations?
Well, that's a pretty good analogy. I will help coordinate with CPAs and estate planning attorneys to make sure that you have a good, solid financial plan no matter what. When it comes to beneficiaries and wills and things like that, I know enough to know that when something is amiss, but also know enough to know that I'm not an attorney and I can't practice law and I don't practice law, and then I need to bring in an estate planning attorney because they're the experts when it comes to setting up those types of documents and setting up beneficiaries.
So those things are important to remember as we go through some of these beneficiary mistakes. So one of them is naming minors as beneficiaries. What about not coordinating a beneficiary designation and then what your will reflects when those two things are out of step? I suppose that's a big mistake and can cause some problems.
Oh, does it ever. It has gone all the way to the Supreme Court, not once, but about three different times. This gentleman, let's just call him Bill, he was married to Mary, and after about 20 years or so, he got divorced. He remarried and married Louise. Well, he never changed the beneficiary on his IRA, 401k, or his life insurance. Oh, wow. He just never got around to it.
The trifecta.
the trifecta, yes. Oh, so they continued on. Louise and Bill are married for another 20, 25 years, and then he dies. Well, when it came down to it, Mary got everything. And Louise took it all the way to the Supreme Court saying, but I was his wife for 25 years. He says right here in his will that I get everything. And what people don't realize is beneficiaries supersedes a will, which basically means if you have a beneficiary statement saying, in this case, Mary, it doesn't matter what the will says. Mary gets the money.
Wow.
And so a lot of people don't understand that. And in today's age, when people are married more than once, you know, and have a second wife or a third wife or a second husband or a third husband, you need to really make sure you know who your beneficiary is, because it can really cause some issues and problems down the road. And if it says it's like saying a bad word in front of your mom, once it's out, it's out. If its beneficiary says one person and you want it to go to another, it don't matter. So it needs to be reviewed at least every 5 years.
the painful thing there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, would be that it's actually pretty easy to fix these things. I mean, that's as simple as, I mean, I think you facilitate those conversations or can help make those changes on those appropriate plans, right?
Oh, we do that all the time. You know, we'll send out, have you checked your beneficiary statements lately, whether it's for your 401k at work or the annuity that you have or your IRA? Any of those things, you need to make sure you check who the beneficiary is. And if it's not who you want, we can help you change it. That's not a problem. It's very easy to do. You just fill out a new beneficiary designation form and away you go. But if you haven't done it lately, I recommend you check for your 401k at work or whatever retirement plan you have at work, any IRAs that you have, any life insurance that you have. You need to check your beneficiaries.
Would you recommend that as sort of a yearly checkup, a yearly review to see where your beneficiaries stand? Is that a pretty good time frame to go by?
I think every 5 years is good enough.
Okay.
You know, unless you have a major life event change. If you get married, you want to check it. If you get divorced, you want to check it. If your beneficiaries or a spouse passes away, you want to check it or change it. So if you have a major life event, then yeah, you would want to check it. But I think if you have checked it and done it once every 5 years, you should be okay with that.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Another beneficiary mistake I have on the list is to not name alternative or successor beneficiaries. What are those and why is it bad to not name them?
Well, let's just say here's an example. A couple are married and they're each other's beneficiary, and one of them dies or they both pass away in a car wreck. They're both killed in a car wreck and they have no secondary beneficiary. Well, now all that money is to be decided by the estate court or probate court. So it'd be very easy to have a secondary beneficiary, whether it's the kids or the grandkids or whoever. It sure would make it a lot easier if they had a secondary beneficiary to make sure that the money goes where they want it to go. Because once you get into probate court, all bets are off as to who gets what.
Now, I have thought before, all right, well, if all of these things are so complicated, why don't I just name the estate as a beneficiary? That just seems like an easy way to just avoid all this red tape, name the estate as the beneficiary so it can all get wrapped up in that, and it's nice and easy as sort of a fallback plan if I don't want to navigate all these other waters. That would be a big mistake, though, if I ultimately concluded that, though, right?
You're exactly right. There's two issues with that. The first one is, now all your assets have to go through probate, where if you have a beneficiary, whether it's on life insurance or an IRA or whatever, it can be passed to your beneficiaries outside of probate. The second thing is, let's just say you have an IRA. You've rolled over your 401k and you've got, oh, I don't know, let's say it's $1 million in your IRA. Because you left it to your estate, that money is now subject 100% to tax. Why? Because an estate has no life. You can't stretch out the tax burden as you could with a beneficiary. There's no way to stretch out the IRA and taking the money out of the account. So whoever ends up with the money that you have designated in your estate, that $1 million I was talking about now becomes all taxable. So at the highest tax bracket we're talking about right now, if you're in the state of Texas, we're looking at basically 39.6%. So you're looking at basically 40% of the money going away. If you're in a state that has state income tax, well, guess what? Now even more of it goes away. Your hard-earned money just went to the government, and that's not what most people want.
No, not at all. And last but not least, when it comes to beneficiary mistakes, and this might seem like the most obvious of all of them, it also might seem like the simplest and least impactful of them all. But this can create major headaches, and that's making simple errors on the application. In other words, not crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
The biggest mistake I've seen is transposing a digit on the Social Security. Mom and Dad were filling out the beneficiary statements. They were putting down their children as the beneficiaries, and conversations were going on while it was happening, and two digits got transposed on the Social Security of one of the kids. And when it came time for the money to go to the kids, well, I'm sorry, the Social Security number doesn't match. Even though the name matches, the Social Security number doesn't. So it really caused a lot of problem and heartache. They had to prove that this was the intent. They had to, you know, show that mom and dad were leaving the money to the child. And it really can cause a lot of issues. And ultimately, it could cause the money to go to a complete stranger if it's a valid Social Security number for someone else.
All of these are important things to remember. If you have not reviewed your beneficiary designations recently, like Tim said, maybe every 5 years or so would be a good time to review all of those. And you need some help navigating those waters or the choppy air, as I should say, since this is the financial flight plan, I guess, then make sure you make those right choices and reach out for help. You can do that by calling the team at 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402, or get in touch via the web, estesfinancial.net. estesfinancial.net is the website, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Just look for Estes Financial in those spots. You know, it's funny, speaking of these small mistakes, Tim, as a Navy fighter pilot for more than 20 years and a commercial pilot for even longer than that, I'm sure you know firsthand how even things that seem little, like making errors on an application, even the little mistakes can add up to be big nightmares or big headaches or big problems in the long run if they're not addressed.
Absolutely. You know, it's on beneficiary statements, the phrase I like to use, it's like saying a bad word in front of your mom. Once it's out, it's out. And, you know, if you've ever had your mouth washed out with soap, you know it's a bitter situation to have to deal with. So Take your time, make sure that you have your beneficiary designation correct, and make sure that all the numbers are accurate, the names are spelled correctly, the birth dates are in there correctly, and most certainly the Social Security numbers are accurate. And if you do that, everything should work.
It's worth repeating and worth remembering that you need to make sure that these things are addressed in your financial plan. Beneficiary mistakes, just one of the parts of the process of getting ready for retirement, and we make sure you're covered, as always, here on the Financial Flight Plan with information that you need to know. One more time, the number to call is 817-444-8402 to get in touch with the Estes Financial Services team, or online at estesfinancial.net. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you a new topic around the corner next week when we rejoin you for another edition of the Financial Flight Plan Podcast.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.